Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here on the West Coast till 1 o'clock and the East Coast till 4 a.m., a talk show that, if you want to call it a talk show, a spoken word show, a non-music show that keeps just right on breaking all the rules, baby. Because that's what we like to do here, because that's just what we like to do here, and we don't care. If I cared, would we be featuring the Milwaukee Lions football games on the website?
No.
If I cared, would we be featuring such disgusting bits by Bobby Dooley as, you know, the Cobras out of the cage and Dachau on our downloads?
No.
If I cared what anybody thought, would we be sitting here effectively doing a radio show, doing a talk show, where we decided within the last 48 hours, after sort of dancing with the concept for many years, but in the last 48 hours, we made the unilateral decision, and it was like taking a gigantic monkey off of my back, to no longer answer the phone around here. We're not taking any calls. We're not taking any calls. We're not giving out the phone number. Not because I don't have any respect for you as my listeners and as my supporters, and or as just somebody casually going by the radio and turning it on. Because I believe that talk shows that spend any amount of time at all, any amount of time, it could be 1 minute, it could be 30 seconds, it could be 5 seconds, it could be 10 seconds, any talk show that spends any time giving out phone numbers and trying to get people to call it is wasting your time, the listener, the overwhelming majority of whom have never called a talk show and never will as long as they live on this planet. So for me to spend time seeing what I can do to get people to call the show wastes the time of the 99.999% of the people that are out there. All right? To do a political talk show takes a great deal of, whether it's a political talk show or any kind of a talk show, to be honest with you, do the show like the kind of show that we do, which is quite frankly, you know, I can't tell you about it in one sentence. But to do any kind of a good show, it takes a lot of concentration, it takes a lot of focus, it takes knowing exactly what your show is about, exactly what it is you want to do, exactly what it is you want to represent. If you're a conservative and that's all you think of yourself as, good luck. You know how many of them we got? So that's why a lot of those guys will come on and tell you, common sense radio or some other load of crap, right? But all of them have one thing in common, and the liberal shows too. They're all taking these phone calls. We, you know, when I made the decision here about 48 hours ago, I would say, not to give that number out ever again or to take any more phone calls in the at present, let's say, and this is not a forever thing, but this is for now. It's just an absolute waste of time. I feel as if I have had a 8,000-pound load lifted off of my shoulders. I feel fantastic. It's the greatest I've ever felt. It's the greatest I've ever felt doing a radio show of any kind, because I have finally just released the tethers of one more anchor that holds me to the so-called terrestrial, and I don't mean that in terms of radio stations, but the earthbound kinds of radio shows. I don't want to be like those shows. I don't care what they're doing or what they're talking about or who they're lying to this week. I mean, they're all full of crap. So, you know, I'm here doing what I'm doing, and what I do, I don't need to have people calling and taking their call and listening to their bull crap. Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you or insult you, but that's just the way it is, okay?
Yeah, you shouldn't have said nothing, though.
Yeah, people are going to be upset now anyway.
What are they going to be upset about? The average listener, what is he going to be upset about? Authorities, two gunmen, what is he going to be upset that he can't call in? The average person doesn't call, man. They just do not call, okay? Authorities, two gunmen rob Los Angeles bank after strapping device to a manager's stomach. Now,
yeah, see, people are going to want to call about that.
Oh, they're not going to want to call about that. People are doing one thing and one thing only. They're listening to me, man. They're not waiting to see what fantastic person is going to call up the Phil Henry Show. There are reasons why we made this decision. If I go any further into those reasons, then I'm going to run afoul of somebody's feelings in a professional venue of which we will not mention. There are business decisions that have to be made. There are reasons why I make these decisions. They are made, quite frankly, they're forced upon me by circumstance, if you really want to get right down to it. So I'm trying to put a positive spin on it, and I think I've succeeded until you two guys open your mouths. Now,
what about people want to talk about the bank?
Would you? I just said nobody's going to want to talk about the bank. I'm talking about the bank.
Okay, but you'll see.
Oh, will you bug off? Two masked gunmen kidnapped a bank manager, strapped what they said was a bomb to her midsection, and forced her to order employees to take out all the money from her Bank of America branch when it opened on Wednesday, authorities said. Now, what, Robert?
I got a phone call.
How is it that we're getting phone calls and I'm not giving out the number?
They have called in. They said they really want to talk about this because they have some information on it.
Put them on. Hi, Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, you were talking about...
Get out of here, bud, okay? That's Dickman.
Where is he?
Don't do that again, man.
I just wanted to see if I could get on the air.
Sorry. Are you kidding me, man? You thought you were going to be able to disguise your voice? You do that again, man. I'll kick your ass out the second floor window of this place. I mean, I will take you upstairs and then throw you out. You understand? Never mind. I'm surprised at you. Two masked gunmen kidnapped a bank manager, strapped what they said was a bomb to her midsection, and forced her to order employees to take out all the money from the Bank of America branch when it opened on Wednesday. The bank robbers got away with an undisclosed amount of cash, but no one was injured in the heist. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's bomb squad disabled the device, which investigators said resembled an explosive, but was not. No arrests have been made.
Did they get in trouble for that?
Can they get in trouble for what?
They didn't have it. It wasn't a bomb. Can they get in trouble?
Yes, because it's a terrorist. It was a coercive, terrorist coercive act. Yeah, it's against the law. They robbed the bank, and they did it by coercing through a terrorist intimidation or fear, or just maybe it doesn't even fall under terrorism. Maybe it's just a coercion through invoking some fear. Yeah, they can go to jail for that. They took the money, didn't they?
Yeah, but that wasn't no bomb. Yeah, they didn't give it. The people gave it to them. You can say that they gave it to them.
No, I can't say that they gave it to them. How do you figure that?
Because there was no bomb.
How did she know that?
She could have, but there wasn't.
She could have what? What could she have done?
Well, she could have said, I don't think it's a bomb. You're going to have to prove, well, I guess if she's going to prove it.
Yeah, you're going to have to prove it to me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so what do they do, explode the bomb?
They could take it off of her and put it in the parking lot and blow it up, but I guess that would be...
Yeah, I guess that would. You guys come up with some screwy stuff.
I just want to know what the law says.
It's against the law, all right? If I said to you guys, I'm going to kill your, if I said to you, Robert, I'm going to kill your aunt, I'm going to kill her unless you give me money. I've got guys at your house right now, they're going to kill your Aunt Mavis unless you give me some money. Forget it's me, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't believe it was you.
All right, let's just, some guy says it. And they give you the money, or you give them the money, and it turns out there is nobody at your aunt's house. They still put fear into you.
No, but I'd say I got to hear my aunt's voice first.
And what if they said, no, you don't? If you do that, then we'll kill her.
I'd say I still got to hear a voice.
Oh, get out of it. You know what I'm talking about, man.
Not really, man. I don't know. Maybe I come from a tougher part of town or something. You're going to have to prove it to me, man. They'd have to, mail her ear or something.
Yeah, that's what they usually do is, mail an ear.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Hey, Mavis, if you're listening, Robert would have to have your ear mailed to him before he knew it was you, so he would pay off kidnapper. That's great.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense in light of, you got to walk a mile in a man's shoes before you.
You guys are a couple of morons, you know. Get to her on the phone. I thought we were going to talk to her.
All right, my aunt?
No, your uncle. Yes, your aunt. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk more about this bank robbing in Los Angeles. There's also another interesting story. A former San Francisco lawmaker, a Bay Area lawmaker of some sort, arrested in Orange County, California on drug charges. How's about that? Always like to read stories like that. We'll be back here. Not that I like to read them, but if things like that are going to happen, I want to read them. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I just gave the number out there. So,
say eight.
Ate some shrimp and it was really good. Welcome back to the program. We have on the line here with us for just a very, very brief moment. I got Mavis Leonard with us. Your nephew. How are you this evening, dear?
Yeah, I'm all Phil Hendry Show, right?
Yeah, this is Phil, Mavis.
Yeah, I'm on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, dear. This is Phil Hendry right here.
Hey, honey, it's Phil. It's Robert here.
Yes, Robert. I'm waiting for Phil.
Yeah, that's him.
It's me.
All right, Phil. They said you want to talk, and I'm watching a little bit of a program here. I watch Bill Clinton, you know.
Yeah, you've been watching the convention?
I have watched the convention, and I'd love to see, Bill Clinton. I voted for John McCain, but I think Barack Obama... You know, I'll probably vote for him again, you know, because I don't like this other man they have.
You voted for John McCain, and you didn't like Barack Obama.
I didn't like him at all. I thought Barack Obama was going to be too liberal, you know.
Hey, honey, we called up on account of if you was kidnapped, and they had, and I told them to approve, would they send an ear?
I don't understand that. He is the son of my sister, and he talks more and more gibberish with each passing day, you know.
No, wait, let me say it. He said what we were talking about here. I'm talking about if you kidnapped.
He talks with each passing day, with each new rising sun, more and more just jive at.
No, audio, listen, you got to listen to me, okay?
What do you want now?
I said, if you got kidnapped, I would have to see an ear or something to know that they really kidnapped you.
I don't understand.
If you were kidnapped, Mavis, just this is a hypothetical. If you were kidnapped, Robert said that before he paid any ransom, he'd have to see an ear or one of your fingers or something like that.
Why would I mail you my ear? Are you out of your mind?
No, I didn't say mail my ear. I didn't say you mail my ear.
I'm not mail your ear or my. Why would I mail your ear? You are an idiot, and I'm so thankful your sister.
No, my mother. I'm not saying that I mail my ear, and you don't have to mail me your ear.
I'm grateful that my sister is not alive to see you, in any way, shape, or form, and I'm glad that your sister doesn't even exist. Otherwise, she'd.
Mavis, do you understand what we're saying? We're saying...
I don't understand anything you two jackasses are talking about at all. And I've been sitting there watching Bill Clinton, and I heard that Chris Matthews already got me upset. And now...
We were talking about kidnapping.
I don't care. Okay, you're talking about kidnapping. What are you talking to me about that for?
Because we were saying, if you were kidnapped, and Robert wanted the kidnappers to prove that you were kidnapped,
I'm supposed to mail my ear to that dumbass that you said?
No, I didn't say you mail an ear. Why did you mail an ear?
No, Miss Leonard, this is Bud Dickman.
You even dumber than the other two. What are you going
to... Well, no, but you say that if you got kidnapped and they were going to have an ear.
If I got kidnapped and they fed me an ear, is what you're saying.
You don't understand what we're saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. You're saying, what do I think about the fact that Robert would demand an ear, but I was simply using your words against you because the three of you sound like you are Gloyd convinced, you know.
And a Gloyd convention?
Yeah, you sound like, you know, in the Bible it says wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am, right? I think the three of you gather in the name of Gloyd Almighty, you know.
Lord Almighty.
All right, Mavis.
No, don't all right, Mavis. Me, you busted up my night. I'm watching David Korn. I've got Chris Matthews coming in one ear from Brooklyn. And you call me up and try to lay this on me? I'm not letting you off the hook.
All right, well, so we said stuff that was jacked up. You're right.
Yeah, you better believe it's jacked up.
All right, but you understand what we're saying.
Yeah, you want to ask me what I think about Robert demanding an ear. I think about that the same way I think about 90% of everything that dumbass did. He's a dumbass. He always was a dumbass. He reminded me a lot of his father in the dumbass area. His sister, like I said, my sister, his mother, I'm glad she's not alive to walk in on what he is. Because if she walked in on him, his ass be laying on a couch looking at Animal Planet. And,
I ain't looked at Animal Planet in a long time.
Well, what's that show you watch now that you're looking at women and men cut each other up and up?
That Investigation Discovery.
Investigation. I'm going to let you go. Okay.
Hold on. Here's Obama and Clinton hugging on the stage. I think that's so phony baloney. Look at that. That's a phony baloney look.
Why is that phony?
Well, that one is a white man, the other is a... you got right there, you got three quarters of two white men. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Three quarters of two...
That's what I'm talking about. You got three quarters of two white men. So that's about as integrated, you know, as that's almost that like integrated like a Ku Klux Klan or how they call it.
All right, Mavis, thank you very much.
You're blowing me off, right?
No, I'm not blowing you off. I'm gonna let you go. Get back to watching your show. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you.
What do you want me to tell you?
Well, I mean,
what do you want me to tell you? It's late at night. She's watching her TV. We call her up.
You're the one who won't call her up.
Yeah, because you're sitting here talking about you. I'd have to see an ear. And what? And you know what? She said what I figured she would say. You're a dumbass, and the stuff you talk about is dumbass, and the fact that, you know, you're as dumb as your father, and...
Yeah, it's dumb. My dad was dumb, yeah, but he wasn't so dumb that he'd ask her to mail her own ear, you know.
But you are. So,
Yeah.
I don't think I said that.
Doesn't matter whether you said it or not, man. She's got me believing you did. All right. So anyway, make a long story short, then the cops got... did they catch the bank robbers? The two men who were armed with handguns and wore ski masks took off in a two-door car, possibly a Kia, and they remain at large. Okay, so there you go. Parker said Parker is a police spokesman. Captain Mike Parker of the L.A. County Sheriff said the woman remained inside the bank until the bomb squad arrived, removed the device from her body. The bomb squad later disabled the item with a robot. Nearby businesses were evacuated for a few hours as a precaution. Well, that's jacked up, huh? And you know what? I always hear them talking about banks that are near freeways, And to work at a bank near a freeway is asking for it because that's an escape route, you know?
Yeah, I heard them talk about that. You say your bank is there?
Yeah, that's where your bank is, right?
My bank is near a freeway. It is. And I remember I was sitting in my bank not too long, about 2-3 weeks ago. I bank at B of A, and the bank branch that I do business with is right at, I'd say it's not right at, it is, there's a light, two lights before you get to the freeway on-ramp, but it's not, it's not a long way. It's just maybe about 150, 200 yards. You know?
Yeah, but see, that's why I think it's because of them lights.
Well, a bank robber isn't going to be caring whether they're red lights or not.
Yeah, I know, but still, man, you still got to go through traffic and everything.
Nah, that's bullcrap. I mean, it's not bullcrap, but I don't think it matters. I think the fact that a bank is close to a freeway on-ramp is a legitimate area of concern for people. At least that's what the police have told us. And a light isn't going to matter to those guys.
No, he's talking about if there's traffic.
There could be traffic. There could be a lot of traffic. But it's not going to matter that much to a couple of guys that are robbing a bank. It's just that's all there is to it. However, I will tell you this much. The North Hollywood bank robbery, that was nowhere near a freeway. And those guys, you know, obviously... they did something wrong. I forget how those guys blew that, but that North Hollywood bank robbery, I'll never forget that because I was coming from my chiropractor out in Santa Monica, And I was on my way up the 405 freeway, and all I saw were cop cars screaming ass past me on their way to this thing that was going on in North Hollywood. And I'm telling you, man, it was way up in North Hollywood. So I don't know what those guys were thinking.
They're never going to get away with it, that's for sure.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with other news items to come, including the Democratic's stumble on a party platform bit of language and more on Bill Clinton's speech and all the other people that are just wowing them and knocking them dead and all that jazz at the Democratic convention. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're online at philhenryshow.com where we have live streaming video of our show from the El Pacifico every night. We do our radio show from our El Pacifico studios here along the California coast, and we have a video cast which behind me shows you the beautiful Pacific as it slams into the rock jetty and otherwise roils and boils there beyond the beach.
Yeah, it's a video.
Will you shut up, man?
Don't tell anybody that.
Anyway, good for you to join us. And again, we have the Bobby Dooley downloads. We're going to have Bobby on in a few minutes here to talk about the new downloads that are in our shop at philhenryshow.com. If you go to shop there on our menu, you'll be able to find those download package. It's called the Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley. And it was voted on and was selected by our Backstage Pass members. It's a real, real cool collection of great Bobby Dooley stuff. All right. The second night of the Democratic National Convention. This is very interesting. You know, as a lot of people think that the Democratic Party, I think if you are on the, by the way, I heard a real slam tonight from somebody. I forget who it was. It was a guy said, if you're an independent voter, that means you're a thinker. You know?
Yeah, I heard that. A guy. In other words, you belong Democrat or Republican, you're a dumbass. They didn't say dumbass.
They didn't say dumbass. They said if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're not as likely to think about stuff, is what they were saying, though.
You don't call that dumbass?
No, I wouldn't put that under the heading of dumbass. I would call it lazy. But what the guy was saying was essentially this, that Clinton's speech was good because it appealed to independent people because they are the ones that like to think about things. Independent voters like to think. And the inference being that the Republicans and Democratic voters don't think. In any event, I don't know if you're a conservative or a Republican, how much real attention you pay to the Democratic Party, how much real attention you pay to what that party, the kinds of people that are in that party now. And it is a decidedly, I think, a more conservative group than it used to be. But I think that Republicans, and especially conservatives, don't really get that. Because they, well, no, what are you talking about? Because they're into health care, national health care. They are really liberal. Well, you know, not really. That's not a really liberal concept. It is for America. Yes, you're right. So when we talk about liberal and we talk about conservative, I think we have to limit that to the borders of the country, the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, and the northern border to Canada, the southern border to Mexico, because it just ain't the facts that when the world looks at liberals and conservatives, they don't see anything all that shocking. You know, I mean, they see the Yanks just being the Yanks, you know.
What's that mean, Yank? Is that a slam?
Yeah, it means yanking it and everything, don't it?
No, it don't. What do you mean yanking it?
Well, what's it mean?
Yankee! Yankees. That's what, a Yankee. American is a Yankee. A Yankee is an American. That's why the New York Yankees are called the Yankees, because in the early days of baseball, teams didn't necessarily have nicknames. They were just simply known by the league they were in. So New York already had a team in the National League. They were the New York Nationals, and sometimes they were called the New York Gothams. And eventually they became the Giants because somebody said that's what one of the players called the other players one day after they won a big game. He says, you guys are a bunch of Giants out there. Now, the New York Americans came to New York from Baltimore.
Yeah, you're getting sidetracked on this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Anyway, so the Yanks. I'll tell that story later on. All right. So they just think we're a bunch of Yanks. And if you got a bunch of Americans talking about health care like it's a socialist revolution, like it's a commie thing, like it's the scariest thing that's ever come down the pike since, Stalin and Mao going down the long trail, the rest of the world thinks, what are you talking about, man? We've had it. So it's not that liberal an idea internationally. In America, it is crazy liberal. It's crazy liberal. But it would be interesting for you guys to note, those of you who are conservative Republican, on the second night, tonight of the Democratic National Convention, it began in confusion and dissent over a last-minute effort to reinsert language in the party's platform, listen to this, invoking God and affirming Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It was an embarrassing episode that marred what otherwise has been a very high-flying gathering. The maneuver triggered booing by delegates in Time Warner Cable Arena and raised questions about how President Obama's campaign overlooked the omissions in the drafting process, a failure that handed the Republicans fresh fodder to levy attacks about the administration's values. Last-minute effort to reinsert language. And now, as both GOP presidential challenger Mitt Romney and his running mate Paul Ryan piled on, Obama himself intervened to clean up the mess, directing top political aides to get the language reinserted. Now, what's this about? 4 years ago, the party document called for a government that, quote, gives everyone willing to work hard the chance to make the most of their God-given potential. The platform also said Jerusalem is and will remain the capital of Israel and should remain an undivided city accessible to people of all faiths. It does not appear that any leaders noticed the omissions this year or realized the trouble they could cause. On Wednesday, Romney told Fox News that the absence of the word God in the Democratic platform showed that the party is veering further and further away into an extreme wing that Americans don't recognize. Obama was also taken aback by the omission. According to a Democratic official, he said the president asked, "Why is it changed in the first place?" Aha! Democrats noted that the document used the word faith 11 times. Some party activists said there was an effort to use the most inclusive language possible when referring to religion, especially in the aftermath of the shooting this summer at a Sikh temple. The platform's silence on Jerusalem was puzzling. The city is a key sticking point in Israeli-Palestinian relations. Though Jerusalem is the country's capital under Israeli law, it is also where Palestinians want to locate the capital of an independent state. The matter is to be resolved in final peace negotiations between the Israelis and Palestinians whenever. Because of this controversy, the United States has maintained its embassy in Tel Aviv, despite a 1995 law passed by Congress that called for it to be moved to Jerusalem. Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama blocked its implementation, calling the law an infringement on the executive branch's authority. Congress ordering the U.S. Embassy in Israel to be anywhere is not the right, necessarily, of Congress. That is an executive branch decision. I'm sure there are ways that the Congress of the United States can get around that stuff. I don't know. But anyway, several experts in the Middle East participated in the platform drafting, including a former Florida Representative Robert Wexler and Colin Call, an associate Georgetown University professor and former Pentagon policy advisor. People familiar with the drafting process said the committee focused on highlighting Obama's accomplishments and did not make an overt decision to remove the Jerusalem reference. It wasn't like it came out. That wasn't the case. The whole thing was redrafted. Wexler said the administration wanted the platform to be a list of achievements that the president is rightfully proud of. Matters that are considered final status items for the Israelis and Palestinians to negotiate were not included in the platform in large part because there were no negotiations now. The absence of the reference to Jerusalem, though, was not raised by any advocacy groups in public hearings, according to people familiar. One Democratic strategist involved with Jewish issues said that none of the groups, including the influential American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, compared the 2012 platform side by side. It looks like it was some kind of an oversight.
Well, so what's that mean?
Yeah.
Well, it means, here's what it means, that they want to make sure that this language is there, that they want to make sure that these particular articulations of the Democratic Party's policy are in that platform because these are mainstream American ideas. These are mainstream. These are American. These are things that are important to the American people, particularly the Jewish people of this country. And not only is it not something that detracts from the Democrats' message, it enhances it, especially among those voters, maybe independents, who want to vote for a ticket, vote for a party, that seems to speak the American language. And having Jerusalem be the capital of Israel, America's always been very strongly in support of Israel. And I'm one voter who appreciates that because I am.
Why?
I just am. Israel to me is a democracy. It was born of a horror called the Holocaust. The Jewish people are a people who have been chased out of every country they've ever been in for thousands and thousands of years, culminating in what happened in the Second World War. And I'm sorry, but Jews have been in the Middle East for centuries. And, you know, quite frankly, the British, who had the Palestinian mandate, who said that, yes, there should be a Jewish state, who supported this in something called the Balfour Declaration that the United Nations tried to adhere to, that was, you know, that was not implemented fully or successfully in the Middle East. And since then, we've had a state of war between the Arabs and the Israelis. I don't know, you know, to me, it's really something that's more important than a lot of local considerations. It's a historic thing. You know?
Yeah, but I still, man, you put people down right in the middle where somebody else lives.
Yeah, but Phil said that they put them people down in the middle of, they live there too.
Nah, not in Israel, though.
Look, Robert, you got a good point, okay? You're right, plopping people down. But the fact of the matter is, to call them fascists and Gestapo and all this crap that's been laid on the Jewish state, if anything, the Israelis have been the recipients of more and more and more of that kind of brutal behavior. The terrorists, to me, are nothing more than, you know, badly financed Nazis going and just killing people because they're Jews. And, all right, so I don't want to get too ahead. And then the God thing, same thing, man. It is not necessarily in the best interest of the Democratic Party to be, hey, man, you know, we respect it all, baby. And even atheists, you know, so we don't want to, you know, bum anybody out with this, God stuff. You know, no. It's a very traditional point of view. And you could see President Obama was upset that it wasn't there. So that's what's going on there, you know.
So they're getting more Republican.
No, they're not getting more Republican. But they are backing away from what some people might have thought were traditionally Democratic Party attitudes, which is, you know, freedom of religion means freedom of atheists, too. And who cares about Israel, man? We care about the Palestinians and blah, 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 blah. All right, we'll be right back. Former Bay Area politician arrested in Orange on drug charges. What's this all about? Who is she? Why is she? And where are the drugs? And like that, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back, folks. And as part of our continuing Democratic National Convention coverage with you in mind, we've got Jeff Dowder in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight to give us a little more of a look inside the Democratic National Convention. He has been on the floor of the convention there throughout the evening, and I understand you were with the Hawaii delegates, Jeff?
Yeah, that's correct, Bill, and as a matter of fact, they're showing a replay of the Hawaii delegates voting right now on TV, and they were dressed in a very festive Hawaiian shirts and casted their votes for the next president of what they say was the next president of the United States, Barack Obama. And they had a lot of very traditional Hawaiian clothing on. And they, if you've seen the Hawaiians, they look almost Japanese, but not quite. I'm telling you stuff you already know.
Yeah, I know that. You mean Polynesian people?
Yes, sir, yeah. And so the reason why I mention that, Phil, is because that shows you the inclusiveness of the Democratic Party that they're trying to talk about. So I was down there with the Hawaiian delegation and talked to this gentleman by the name of Junior Kanea, who played football at the University of Hawaii and had a tryout with the NFL too, but now is involved in just party politics of Hawaii. And here's part of that conversation.
David,
did you vote for Obama in like the election?
Yeah, I voted for Barack Obama in the election of 2008, and I voted for Al Gore in the election of 2000.
What about 2004?
What about it?
Well, that
I don't think I was aware of. There was an election there too.
Yeah, they had an election in 2004. So that's a conversation I had.
Who was that guy?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Who was the guy you just talked to?
A guy by the name of Junior Kanea. He's he's from one of the outlying islands. I'm not sure which one, but it's the one. He's from that island where the Navy does a lot of shelling. And I'm not trying to make a joke or anything, but I asked him.
Yeah, because that guy didn't know there was an election in 2004.
Yeah, see, I asked him, who'd you vote for? He goes, he voted for President Obama, and he voted for President Gore, Vice President Gore, whatever he was, I don't recall.
Vice President.
Yeah. And then I said to him, who did you vote for in 2004? What did I say?
You asked him who he voted for in 2004, and he said he wasn't aware there'd been an election?
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I asked him. I said, where are you from? And he said the name of that island, it's a big long name. It goes Kulubo Tutulu Bululu or something. And I go, ain't that where the Navy has been regularly shelling and using it for target practice for a number of years? And he said, you know, bingo, give the man a cigar. And I go, that may be what's going on here. I mean, and so I put it down to the shelling.
Well, they don't have anybody living on that island, man.
What?
They don't have anybody living on that island. I know the island you're talking about. It's like across from Maui or something.
Well, yeah, well, whatever. But, I mean, don't you think constant shelling, you know, like...
You think the guy's got shell shock?
Yeah, you know.
No, I don't think there's anybody living on that island right now. He might have been born there. Maybe he was... I don't think there are any structures there. I mean, it's an island that, you're right, Jeff, they use it... The Navy has used it for target practice. I think there's a couple of field phones. I think there are a couple of bunkers.
Well, you know, I don't know, man. He might have been born in a bunker or something. I don't know.
Well, how do you know he's from that island?
Because he said he was.
I wonder if at one time they had...
There might have been residences there. But, I mean, that's getting off the point. You know, he was a very well-spoken man, and he wants to do better as a delegate. And I told him, and I asked him, do you feel you messed up by not remembering there was an election in 2004? He goes, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I go, yeah. And so he goes, yeah, but I'm trying to work my way back in, and I won't, you know, and I hope I don't mess up again, you know. And so that's what he said. From the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte.
Hold on, Jeff, okay?
What?
Hold on for a minute, man. I'm not done with you yet. So, you were with the Hawaii delegation. You made a note of saying that they were wearing their Hawaiian garb.
Yeah, the reason why I brought that up is because of all of the states that will be at the convention of this one, or even the Republicans, the only state that seems to dress up and have, you know, a good time in a costume is the Hawaiis. Or the people of Hawaii. You never ever see, you know, I don't know, like Nebraska do a costume. You never see, but the Hawaiians always do.
Well, that's a very good point. But it begs the question, which is what would Hawaiians have a very distinctive? I think we all have this idea that Hawaii and the people of Hawaii have a distinctive way of dressing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we think they walk around all day long with a thing of flowers around their neck, and they're like going to their job at the bank in some loud shirt with flowers in their hair, and I had a friend of mine that worked in Hawaii for a while. Well, I mean, he didn't work in a bank, but he did worked in Hawaii. He worked as a lifeguard, and then he also worked on a pineapple ranch.
On a what?
On like a pineapple ranch or a pineapple garden where they pick pineapples. I had a friend of mine did some winter work over there. And anyway, he told me, man, that he'd been down to banks and he'd gone into banks. He even went into he went into a hardware store and the guy had on an apron and the bank, they had suits. So I don't know what the story is with the Hawaiian shirts and everything, but I do believe, Mr. Henry, I think it's a good way to point out this. How come they're the only ones that get into makeup and costume and nobody else?
Well, let's not call it makeup and costume. I think that the Hawaiian people are just want to keep projecting that image.
Yeah, but I mean, why not get dressed why don't they wear a corn? I was looking into Nebraska. It's a corn state or the
Corn Huskers.
Corn Husker state. I mean, okay, it's not that sexy, but why wouldn't they be in farmer gear or a corn guy that is, anybody that's into corn? Well, I guess that kind of makes the corn cob thing come up, so that's probably not a good idea.
Well, you know, it's a question we'll have to investigate.
What?
It's a question we'll have to investigate and answer.
I'm sorry, Bill, I can't hear you. I'll just... Jeff Dowd reporting here for Phil...
Jesus.
What?
What do you mean, what? He can't hear me. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Jeff, for that report on Junior Kanea, who was born on the island that the Navy shells, and he doesn't remember there was an election in 2004.
Phil Henry.
Great. Yeah, but that's because they were shelling him.